G'day again on this episode of Grey Matters Advanced Care Planning. Ben Davis with you, along with Tracy Sylvester from Seasons Aged Care. Advanced Care Planning, it's a conversation we need to have. It's a difficult one and it's a legal minefield as well, isn't it?
The whole concept of advanced care planning is for you as an individual to have very clearly documented and identified what you want to have happen in the event that you can't make those decisions for yourself. We've got a very rigorous legislative framework here in Queensland in terms of how advanced care planning works. That means that there are certain processes that people need to follow to develop an advanced care plan. It's not something you can just go and download a template off the internet and off you go. What we don't want is people get to a certain age, they're unwell, and they haven't clearly articulated what they want to have happen to their family members. Because what it does is it actually leaves family members in a terrible position. You have mum or dad or auntie or uncle in a hospital bed, very unwell, and you have doctors saying, what do you want to do? And whilst that's really tough, when you're going through the process of having to do it, because having an advanced care plan means you have to go and talk to your GP, you have to get some legal advice about that care plan. You also need to involve your family members, because you need to let them know that you have an advanced care plan. Because if something happens and you're in the emergency department of the local hospital, your family need to have that document available. But it is pretty confronting, because effectively what you're saying is, these are the things that I want to have happen to me. And that might mean treatment doesn't occur at a time in your life when treatment could save you.
Confronting, yes, but the flip side is you'd have family members who, at a very emotional time, will be arguing.
Or terribly distressed. And it's really tough for doctors as well and health professionals, because they're left with, well, we don't really know what this person wants to have happen.
Yeah.
And if the person is older and they are frail and perhaps their quality of life isn't as good as it might otherwise have been, then it becomes an ethical dilemma for the doctors as well. So if that person has clearly explained and put out in writing in a legal document what they want to have happen, there's no doubt. And I think that that's the benefit of having an advanced care plan, is that you as an individual have exercised your right to choose how you want to live your life right up until the end of your life, potentially.
And it's so much more than just choosing a power of attorney too, isn't it?
Absolutely. So an enduring power of attorney is one way that you can have people who can talk on your behalf. You can have an enduring power of attorney for financial matters, for health matters, or for both. The other thing people need to know is that an enduring power of attorney document is not considered active until it's actually been lodged with the relevant government department.
What about choosing?
It needs to be somebody you trust. And you might actually choose to have your spouse, which is what a lot of people do, but you need to also think of, well, if my spouse passes away, who might I have? But equally, you don't want to lock it up so you're ending up with all of your kids as enduring power of attorney and they've all got to agree to a decision. Mm. I've been involved in situations where you've got an enduring power of attorney situation, you've got four kids and they're all the enduring power of attorney and they've all got to agree on a decision before something can happen.
Then you're back to square one.
You are. You might as well not have it.
Really great advice, Tracy. Thank you. Advanced care planning. Sometimes it can be confronting, but it is necessary. And remember, grey matters.